Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Hello there, and once again, welcome to the Gary Zimak Show. I hope you had a fantastic week. Believe it or not, on today's show, we are going to be looking at the Mass readings for the final Sunday in Ordinary Time. Today's a very big day, and the Church specifically and intentionally ends the liturgical or the church year with the solemnity of Christ the King. It's a big day. We will talk about it. We'll look at the Mass readings, and believe it or not, you probably know this already, but next week we begin a new liturgical year as it is the first Sunday of Advent. Isn't that incredible? But, you know, and you're going to see today, well, and if you go to Daily Mass, you'll hear some of the readings really begin to focus on the fact that as the church year draws to a close, the church wants us to remember that one day our lives will draw to a close, right? And, you know, we'll talk about this on the other side. I have some thoughts about this, because as we head into Advent, which is a season of hope, it's a season of waiting, it's a season of preparation. You know, a lot of times we don't think of Advent as a season of preparation because we're so busy running around that we might be preparing for externally for Christmas, but it really, it's bigger than that. So, you know, we'll talk more specifically about this when the Advent season begins next week's show. But it's not too early to start thinking about this as we prepare to close out the church year, focusing on the fact that Jesus Christ is our King. He's the King of the universe. And oftentimes, oftentimes we don't really recognize his kingship in our daily lives. And what do I mean by that? Well, let's stick with me after the prayer. We'll talk about that more closely. Now, today, because all of our focus is on Christ our King, let's talk directly to Jesus when we pray. And let's remember also that where Jesus is, so is the Father and the Holy Spirit. So as we begin our prayer now, just remember we're in their presence, okay? So let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for being here with us. Lord, it's easy to ignore your presence in our lives. It's easy because we can be distracted in so many ways, and we can't see you with our eyes. But Lord, we do know through faith, we know that you are real. We know that you are always present with us. And we know that you desire to help us and to not leave us in our misery. And I think, Lord, that's something we forget too. Sometimes we get focused on the fact that carrying a cross is part of being a Christian. Embracing carrying a cross willingly is a part of being a Christian. But sometimes we lose sight of the fact that you want to help us. You want to help us by granting us peace, which is possible even when we are carrying our crosses. So, Lord, today we turn to you and we acknowledge you as our Lord, as our Savior, and as our King. And we ask you, Lord, to pour out your Holy Spirit among us today so that we can hear your message on this program and respond to it in a positive way. And Lord, I also ask that you use me as your instrument. Use me to share the message that you have for us and not my own personal message. Jesus, I ask this in your mighty and powerful name. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, welcome to the show. Boy, I'll tell you something. Let me just take a sip of my water here. You know, I have to tell you that I'm doing that because you might wonder why there's a pause, but I felt my throat getting a little parched here, so I needed a sip of water. It seems like it's been a long time that I've been saying on the air that where we are in the liturgical year, we're always, at least it feels like it, I was always saying this, we were somewhere in the middle of the liturgical year, you know, and here we are at the end. Incredible, right? But as the new, as 1 year closes out and another one begins, we're going to focus today as we look at the Mass readings for the Solemnity of Christ the King. And remember, Solemnity is the highest holy day on the church calendar. This is a serious day. I mean, serious in a good way. As we close out the church year, we're going to focus on the kingship of Christ. And we all know what a king is, but the idea of a king reigning from a cross is a bit different for us. And it's easy to miss, as it was during the time Christ walked on the face of the earth. Many people didn't understand this either. So his kingdom is a little bit different than what we are used to, and he is certainly not your traditional king. So we will talk about that. But you know what? I just have to tell you, it is so good to be back with you, and I thank you for listening to this program. I thank you for all of the positive comments that I get so frequently about this show. And I thank you for the donations, which are funding my full-time ministry, keeping me going. In a time that's been quite challenging, you know, it's thank God I've been working a good bit during November. I've been back on the road speaking again. December, pretty slow. January is dead. I have nothing in January, but that's always pretty much been the case. February, I think I have a couple engagements, and then March is crazy, which I believe Ash Wednesday is March the 2nd this year. So it makes sense that I'm very busy during Lent, and I am so thankful about that. I just pray that all of my parish missions, which I think I have three or possibly four of them, that they go off as scheduled with all the craziness due to the pandemic. But you know what? Anymore, I just give it up to the Lord, and if he wants me to speak, then I know it's going to come about. But if you would like to bring me in to speak at your parish or your conference, please contact me through my website, followingthetruth.com. And we'll talk more in the weeks to come. Give up worry for Lent based on the book that I wrote by the same name. We're going to be doing that movement again this year as we did last year. And I have the daily email devotional, so we'll tie into that for Give Up Worry for Lent as I did last year. If you have not yet signed up for my daily email devotional, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, head on over to followingthetruth.com and supply your email address, and you'll start receiving them. There's no cost to that. I'll send them to you every day. You can find out about all my books, as well as look at video clips of my various talks. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go. Okay. So this week we look at the readings for the Solemnity of Christ the King. And as I was saying at the beginning, if you happen to go to daily mass, you're going to hear some messages. Not so much, you're not going to so much hear them today, slightly maybe, but during daily mass in the days to come, the church wants us to make sure we understand that our life is temporary and that we need to make some arrangements. And this is perfect. Or make some changes, that's more appropriate. This is perfect because we are 1 week approximately away from entering into Advent. And Advent is a time in which we are given by the church. It goes very quickly. It's not as long as Lent. It's a time given to us to prepare, to welcome Jesus more deeply into our lives. And, you know, Jesus came for the first time 2,000 years ago. We believe that he will come again in glory one day, and we certainly want to prepare for that. But more specifically, and you know, that could happen tomorrow or even today. We don't know. We assume it's going to be a long time just because it's been 2,000 plus years since he last came and he hasn't returned since. But we don't want to get lulled into that sense of complacency or that we have a lot of time. We just don't know. So we want to be prepared. We want to be prepared to welcome the Lord if he comes, when he will come, but if he comes in our lifetime, in his glorious second coming, or we want to be prepared to meet him when we die, if that becomes first, if that comes first. But certainly, we want to prepare to meet him in a way that we know will happen in the next few weeks. And I don't want to talk too much about this because it's not Advent yet, but we know that during the Advent season, the church gives us opportunities, and we'll read the daily mass readings, or I'll probably reflect on them in my daily email. But we have the opportunity to grow closer to him, to make some changes. And after we've decided, looking at our lives and saying, okay, these are the changes I'll have to make during Advent, we're given that time to make some preparations, to say, what can I do to welcome Jesus more deeply into my life? What do I have to clean up? So again, we'll talk more about that last week or next week, but let's right now look at the mass readings for the solemnity of Christ the King as we close out the church year. We'll start with the gospel as we do each week on the program. We'll let the gospel lead the way. And the gospel today is from John chapter 18, beginning in verse 33. Pilate said to Jesus, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this on your own, or have others told you about me?" Pilate answered, I am not a Jew. Am I your own nation? And the chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom did belong to this world, my attendants would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not here." So Pilate said to him, "Then you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Couple things jump out at me. Number one, the fact that the kingdom of Jesus is an invisible kingdom. He reigns, as I said, from a cross. He operates in a non-traditional means of operating for a king. You know, this is not what we're used to, a king who is a servant, a king who is humble. You know, in the United States, I don't know if we have a clear concept of what a king may be, but I think we have some idea from what we've read and from history and from just a general impression of we picture a king sitting on a throne, bossing people around. Well, Christ is a different kind of king. And, you know, the incredible thing about his kingdom and his kingship is we're free to reject him. And just as in the time when he walked on the face of the earth, as we see with Pilate, many people did reject him. Many people refused to worship him and to bow down before him as their king. You and I, we have that same choice. We don't have to acknowledge Jesus as our king. Or, this is the other thing, we can do it by giving him lip service, by saying, "Yes, Jesus is my king. Yes, he's my Lord." But then in our daily lives, we end up not really following through. And that is so easy to get into that. And I would like to tell you I never do that, but unfortunately, I do it way too often. I do it way too often because when we begin to start focusing on other areas for our comfort, on other sources for enjoyment, on other sources than Jesus, I'm talking about, for our security, we essentially end up worshiping or paying tribute to a king who is not Jesus. We don't do this intentionally, but so many of us, even if we're not sinning, you know, I'm not necessarily talking about committing sin and turning away from Jesus that way. I'm just talking about seeking comfort solely in the things of the world, and not by turning to Jesus. And as somebody who speaks a lot about anxiety and who struggles with anxiety, I have learned that the only true and lasting peace in this world comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. But I've tried many other things, not all of it bad. I mean, it wasn't all alcohol and tobacco and anything harmful. It was shopping. It was fast food. It was, you know, spending money on different things or burying myself in TV programs. Not that any of that stuff is necessarily bad, but it becomes bad when you don't turn to Jesus for comfort and you turn to these other things. You know, you certainly can do both. Jesus has no problem with us watching TV, especially if it's not an immoral program, or watching sports. I like to watch sports. But if you've got a serious problem, if you're worried about something, if you're burdened, you should really turn to Jesus first in some way and give him a chance to work before you just bury yourself in mindless entertainment. And again, I'm guilty of doing this throughout my life. So just something to think about and ask yourself that question. Is Jesus really my king? Meaning what he says goes. Is he my boss? You know, and a lot of times I think we find that the answer is no. Somebody else is more important. And I'm saying a lot of times this is not intentional. But as we prepare to go into Advent, it's probably a good idea to know where we stand. The first reading is from the book of the prophet Daniel, chapter 7, beginning in verse 13. It's verse 13 and 14. It's only two verses, this first reading. As the visions during the night continued, I saw one like a son of man coming on the clouds of heaven. When he reached the Ancient One and was presented before him, the one like a son of man received dominion, glory, and kingship. All peoples, nations, and languages serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not be taken away, and his kingship shall not be destroyed. And, as we look at this description in the book of Daniel, the kingship of Jesus that we see right now, it is really one that can't be seen. And that's the tricky thing about it. You're not going to see the kingdom. You know, you're not going to see the kingdom, his kingdom and his throne by looking around you. You just can't see it with your eyes. And therefore, because we are really trained from an early age to depend on our senses, if we don't see him as a king, if we look at the world, you know, you turn on the news, you look on the internet, you look around you, you don't really see Jesus reigning. And you see a lot of people who are not acknowledging him as their king. And you could tell that by the actions that are so prevalent nowadays. You know, not a lot of respect for Jesus and his authority. But again, that's something that he allows us to voluntarily reject if we choose to. So his kingdom really is here, but it's invisible. It's going to be obvious when he comes again in glory. It's going to be obvious when we see him again in heaven, or when we die and we'll see him in heaven, God willing. It's going to be obvious that he is a king. But here, with how little he is mentioned and how different the values of the world are right now when contrasted with the message of Jesus, you know, you certainly don't see that kingdom here. Just something to keep in mind. Look, you're listening to this program. You obviously care. That's a good thing. We got to do some work in order to see the kingdom of Christ, and we have to make some decisions, but we are free to reject him. That's the incredible thing. Normally, that's not the case with a monarch on the earth. You don't usually have the option to reject the ruling, you don't usually have the option to reject the king and say, I am not going to be ruled by this king. I am not going to follow this king. With Jesus, you do have that option. And that's why it's a different kind of kingdom. It's not a good option, but it can happen. And furthermore, generally speaking, when we reject the kingdom of Christ, when we really don't obey him as our king, it's usually not a one-time decision. For the most part, it's a day-by-day decision, maybe minute-by-minute decision. You know, I'll choose to obey him on one thing, and then something else comes along, and I don't really feel like obeying him on this. And again, I think it's important just to be aware and ask the question, is Jesus Christ really your king? I think it's, and I ask myself the question. And it's really a good thing to think about as we close out this church year and are prepared to welcome him. You know, maybe this Advent is the time to really say, all right, Lord, I'm going to welcome you as my king. And I'm going to spend all Advent getting ready. And I'll mention more on next week's show. But the good thing about Advent is you have an end point. So it's not really open-ended. You say, all right, we begin next Sunday and enter into the Advent season. And the end point is December 25th. So I'm going to work really hard beginning the first day of Advent right through Christmas Day to do what I need to do to prepare to welcome the king, because he's coming. Whether we like it or not, we can anticipate his coming on December 25th. I love the idea that church gives us an end point, because otherwise we just keep putting it off. I mean, I know I have that tendency. So we'll work together as we go through the Advent season. But right now, the question I think we all need to ask ourselves is, to what extent is Jesus Christ my king? You know, is he my king on Sunday for 1 hour only? Or is he my king 7 days a week, 24 hours a day? Responsorial Psalm, Psalm 93, the Lord is king. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is king, in splendor robed. Robed is the Lord and girt about with strength. And he has made the world firm, not to be moved. Your throne stands firm from of old. From everlasting you are, O Lord. Your decrees are worthy of trust indeed. Holiness befits your house, O Lord, for length of days. You know, the Lord is king. But again, he's not going to force his kingship on any of us. That's an incredibly difficult thing for us to wrap our brain around. A king who is also humble, right? Very, very difficult. Let's look at the second reading now from the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. Jesus Christ is the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, who has made us into a kingdom, priests for his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming amid the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. All the prophets of the earth will lament him. Yes. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, the one who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You know, this lays it out nicely. And I think what we need to do is make that decision today. And again, next week begins Advent. So let's just make that decision first. Before we make the decision, let's look at the areas in our lives. You know, spend this week thinking about it, praying about it, ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten you, and try to figure out, is Jesus really my king? Am I really putting him first when I'm trying to make a decision? Do I go to him first? You know, it's very easy to just move ahead with the decision. We're doing something, some repair work we have to get done on our home. And it's necessary work. It's a safety issue that we just have to get it done. And, you know, you can get the basic work done, or we have the option to maybe do a little bit more. And really, we have to make a decision. And we did. We opted. My wife and I prayed about it. And we said, Lord, what do you want us to do? We don't really have the money to get this done. But do we want to just get the basics done, or do we want to spruce things up a little bit beyond the basics? And we prayed about it. We just came to the conclusion that we just we don't have the extra money, so we do have to be really careful, but we just don't want to spend the money other than to get these emergency repairs done. But that came about because we both separately prayed about it. We prayed individually and as a group, my wife and I, and we got a feeling after it. And, you know, we both came to the same conclusion. I was actually traveling. I was speaking in upstate New York. I was traveling. Eileen was back here, and we both came to the same conclusion, even though we weren't with each other, that this really isn't the right thing for us to do. So, you know, is the Lord of your money? Is he the Lord of all the decisions you make in your life? Buying a new car, having a child, and, you know, switching jobs. Do you consult him first? And we're so used to just doing things. You know, like even me, I have to make decisions about where my ministry will go. What's my next step? Do I want to do more parish missions? Do I want to do more writing? Do I want to do my daily podcast? I've been taking a bit of a break from the daily podcast. Will I resume it again? You know, and these are things that I sometimes forget to bring to prayer. You know, I'll bring them to prayer, then I'll just go off and forget to repeatedly keep talking to the Lord about them. You know, just forgetting that he deserves to be a part of this. So this week, I think it would be a good week to really focus on, is he really my king? And then to get ready, as we begin Advent, to start thinking about, well, what can I do? What can I do to address these problem areas? What can I do to welcome him more deeply into my life, which we'll work on during Advent? Hey, if you have questions, you can always email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. And you know how much I love hearing from you, so don't ever hesitate to do that. I want to thank you for your continued donations to my ministry. If you would like to make a contribution to help fund my ministry, I really need it. I depend on your support. And I do support my family through my ministry. It's very difficult at times, especially with this past year and a half dealing with COVID. It was really tough with all my speaking work shut down. But if you'd like to help me out and help me to continue to do my daily email reflections in this program and my other resources, if you'd like to donate either one time or become a monthly sponsor of my work, I sure could use it. You can do that by going to followingthetruth.com and clicking on donate. Once you do that, you'll be able to donate securely through PayPal. As always, if you have any questions, please email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. So as we bring this program to a close and really close out the church year as well, let's get ready. Let's start to think about the idea that is Jesus really my king? And if not, what can I do? Or is he my king some of the time? How can I make him my king all the time? And then next week, we'll start the Advent season, God willing, and we'll talk about it more specifically. I hope you know that you are in my daily prayers, and if you wouldn't mind praying for me, I would really, really appreciate that. So, God willing, I plan to see you back here next week to talk about the Mass readings for the first Sunday of Advent. Boy, I can't wait. Have a wonderful week. God bless you, and I look forward to being with you next time right here on the Gary Zimak Show. Bye-bye.
This is Kevin O'Brien of EWTN's Theater of the Word. I'm excited also to teach middle school and high school literature, speech, and drama with homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. Your student can meet with me online for a live, interactive class. Whether you take apologetics with John Martinoni, or grade school with Jackie De La Viaga, or any of the other 400-plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, online Catholic learning for your homeschooling family is available for you.